The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Joining us on the program is Jay and Rayanne Payleitner. They've got a book called Girl Dad, a father-daughter duo discuss truths that impact a girl's heart, mind, and spirit. It's going to be available May 9th. We know that the father-daughter relationship is incredibly important, very profound, and so we're so glad to have Jay and Rayanne with us. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Tim. Good to be here. We have lots of friends in Seattle, so we enjoy talking to you guys out there. We're out in the Chicago area.
Excellent. Well, we're so glad to have you on the program today.
We're excited to be here, Tim.
Let's talk about this important. We'll talk about the book. We'll talk about the relationship. But I guess what motivated you to write this book?
Excellent question. Well, first off, books for dads of daughters sell twice as many as book for dads of sons because, of course, we're scared to death about that whole thing, and we think we know how to relate to sons. But I signed this book contract with a publishing house for a book for to write a book for dads of daughters because it is a sensitive subject and needs some input. And I've written more than 30 books on family relationships, and I was diving into this thing, and as I often do, I sent a. I wrote some brilliant chapters on your daughter and her hopes and dreams, your daughter and her friends, your daughter and her boyfriends, your daughter and this fallen world, your daughter and her self-image. And I realized that I needed some input, and that's where Rayanne came in.
Rayanne, how about you?
So, you know, growing up, like my dad said, he's written over 30 books. Around the parenting and family-based subjects for men. And oftentimes growing up, he started writing books when I was about 10 years old. And so growing up, oftentimes his office, which is only about 12 paces away from our kitchen table, he would come out and, you know, want to bounce some ideas off of or get some new insights. A lot of his books are 52 things that kids need from their dad and titles like that. And so he would come out and say, guys, I have 38, you know, help me brainstorm a little bit here. So it wasn't a new concept of him asking just for insights or asking for ideas. But when he was writing this particular book, I happened to be overseas. I was living in Ireland at the time, and so quite a distance away from that kitchen table. And so instead of talking it out, because at the time technology isn't what it was today, and obviously time zones played into effect, I decided to just type out my responses to those chapters and give him some ideas. And then I just sent him off on my way, figuring it was the same path that we had done 20 or so odd times before.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you guys had a great relationship, even though, Rayanne, you wanted to be, you know, 7,000 miles away from Jay in Ireland. I'm sure you guys were pretty tight.
Tim, you have to know that. Your listeners are going, why was she in Ireland? Rayanne was an all-state softball player here in Illinois, and she ended up surprising us by going to West Point, the West Point Military Academy in New York, and she hit the home run that sent the Black Knights to the NCAA tournament. Great experience there, but through that last season, she blew out her knee and got some concussions, so she had to leave West Point. And that was a season of discontent there that summer because we didn't know what she was doing. She surprised us again by saying, "Yeah, I'm going to law school." in Dublin, Ireland, at University College Dublin. So that's why she was over there. But the point was, the bigger point is that she wrote these long paragraphs on. I wrote these brilliant chapters, and she wrote these long paragraphs on maybe what I got wrong or some things I missed or something I could have written better. And at first I was like, what? And then I'm going, wait a second, this is great stuff. And so I quickly emailed my publisher. I said, hey, can my daughter write this book with me? And they thought that was a great idea. And so suddenly my 10 chapters that I thought were brilliant are even better now, because Rayanne gives a perspective afterwards with things like Rayanne's reality checks or Rayanne's Q&A with dads kind of thing and such. Anyway, but the point was that I thought I had written a good book, and it's a great book now because Rayanne, and she's got her name on the cover, and I'm on my book number 38, and this is book number one for her. So we'll see, and it's been a blast. It's been a blast to get to dig deeper into our relationship and know that we're going to help some dads along the way, I think.
Rayanne, what was your first thought when your dad, you know, reached out and said, hey, I'm going to write a book on being a girl dad? What was going through your mind at that point?
Well, it's interesting. He wrote a different book when I was about 15 called 52 Things Daughters Need from Their Dad. And it's one of his better sellers. But I like to tell people, honestly, of the 52, it's about 40 stories about me. Because he has four sons, but only one daughter. And, of course, he pulled from the men in his life and his other experiences. But there are stories in that book that even my best friends don't even know. But when he told me about this book and the whole concept of being a girl dad, he came at it from an angle of what are the different insights that we can give dads, ways to look at their relationship with their daughter, ways to improve it, obviously, through every stage of life, right? When they're little, it's easy, it's easy for that. All you have to do is make time for them. But as they grow up and they become their own person, you got to build that relationship, and that relationship needs to evolve with you. And so when he asked me to join alongside him, I knew that he would give great insights. But my goal as being the girl half, right, of girl dad in the book, was to represent all the daughters that I could, all those girls out there, and not just as, you know, the little princess that every dad will always see their daughter as. You're always going to be their little girl. I know that. You can't fight that. It's a beautiful thing. But I also want them as dads to see them as complete people with flaws, and they're going to go through things, and they're going to evolve as people and go through different stages, and they have hopes and dreams, and they will go through tough times, and they're going to relate to the world differently than you for a number of different ways, but also just because they're their own person. And so I wanted to just bring those insights to those dads. So he gives the insights, but I want to give them the perspective and the context to best use those insights in relating to their daughter.
Jay, is there any sense, you know, for you when you kind of started on this project, you know, because I would imagine, you know, there's a certain, I would just go out on a limb and say, you know, a certain amount of vulnerability, right, that you have to say, okay, I've got here's what I did right. Here's where I struggled. You know, here's the things that, man, I wish I could go back in time and change, just like anyone. I mean, and this is when you're talking about, you know, your family, when you're talking about being a dad, I mean, there's not many more vulnerabilities in life than. How do you navigate that, Jay, when you're saying, man, I'm going out on a limb and I may hear things that I may not want to hear about what it was like to to raise Rayanne and things like that. Talk to us about that.
Well, you are exactly right, Tim, and you have hit upon your fatherly intuition has hit upon exactly the vulnerability that we have to have as dads. I experienced that when I opened myself up to Rayanne's critique and criticism, but dads, we got to do that, man. We have to understand that we have to not beat ourselves up when we make mistakes. We have to be ready to apologize. We have to be ready to engage. And you know what? If you find yourself pushing your daughter away or she's pushing you away, stop and say, hey, I need to end this conversation and every interaction with your daughter, pulling her towards you. Even when she walks down the, you know, and slams the door of her bedroom, we need to go knock on that door and say, sweetheart, I hate when this happens, but I know I need you to know that I love you, and we're going to get through this, and we're going to keep talking about this. So the point is, maybe celebrate, and that's one of the themes of the book, is to celebrate your differences and celebrate even her defiance, Tim, because you want her to work through things, especially when she's under your roof. You want her to try new things, and she quits tennis and breaks your heart, if she joins the army, if she starts a band, if she starts wearing no makeup or starts wearing too much makeup, she's going to go through things that you want to be there with her and come alongside her and still be part of her life. Tim, you got some girls, don't you? Is that right? You've got two or three daughters?
I've got four daughters.
Oh, God. Well, there you go. tell us how that's going, Tim.
Well, I'm recording in the basement, and they're banging upstairs. So right now, not great.
Well, you see my point there. You got to keep pulling them towards you because they go every which direction. And your goal is to help each of those little girls. And by the way, they're all different. You have to help them each find their sweet spot, Tim, and have their own faith. I know you pour into them with your heart and soul and your love for Jesus, but you know what? They have to. Don't put your faith in a box. Got to go out and look at the stars at night and give them a little science lesson, but then also say, hey, man, who put those stars up there? So they learn to know their faith in context of life. I'm preaching at you here. I'm sorry, but I'm excited for you. They're younger. They must be younger girls, right?
Yeah, I've got 13, 12, 9, and 7. So.
Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot here, and Rayanne, correct me if I shouldn't be saying things like this, but does that 13-year-old still sit on your lap? as daddy? You know, she loves daddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. In a year or two, she might not, is my point. You know?
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah, she's, obviously in that, that period of being able to, become a young woman and starting to learn independence and those kind of things. But still, how do you learn independence, continue to have a tender heart and continue to have that childlike, wonder for life and joy. And I think that is, that's the thing that, always goes through, my head, is how to, continue to create joy. Life is supposed to be joyful and, enjoyed. We see that in the scriptures, right? I mean, there's a reason, God has created the things that he's created so that they would be enjoyed. And life's hard right now, right? I mean, I'm here in Seattle. I don't know about Chicago, but, Seattle's been ranked the number one most depressed city in America, the number one most anxious city in America. A lot of folks are just depressed and anxious. Kids these days, young people are incredibly depressed and anxious, and social media. And it's like, okay, how do we continue to bring – the wonder of life out. And that's always a thing that's on my wife and I's mind. So I guess that's maybe a question for the two of you. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, one of my favorite parts of the book that I didn't write is Hey, Ray Ann. And every chapter has two or three questions that a dad might ask. And I didn't have to write that part. Rayanne went ahead and wrote a couple dozen of those things. So let's put that in the form of a question. Hey, Rayanne, I've got a 13-year-old daughter, let's say, and I'm scared that she's part of this culture that is just kind of chewing people up and spitting them out. Give me some advice. I'm putting you on the spot here, my sweet daughter.
Well, it is. It's a very... You're speaking to reality here, Tim, and that's an important thing. I think that's something that often dads don't do, right? They close off their mind and they just want to put their daughter in that little girl, little princess box, and they don't want to realize that the world is going to happen, right? We are in this fallen world, and that's one of our chapters is talking about your daughter in this fallen world. Another chapter is your daughter and her own brokenness. And that's just the reality of life. And the more you can, as dads, be honest about that with her and as best you can walk through that with her and be brokenhearted with her at the state of the world, the better she will be. She's going to have to go on these journeys herself. The best thing you can do is certainly be there, but a step further than that is to give her, even sneakily, give her the resources and the answers to her questions without her even asking. And that's not, you know, sitting her down and lecturing her, because she'll turn right off if you do that. But it's more surrounding her with people that, even if she doesn't feel comfortable, there are things she's not going to feel comfortable talking to you about or even her mom about. But she might talk to, you know, another adult that maybe you've put into her circle, whether that be a small group leader or a youth pastor or even a family friend. Maybe you know someone, you know an adult that has gone through some of those struggles and has come out the other side. Sometimes that's what your daughter – you can't be everything for your daughter as much as you want to be. But what you can do is be her advocate in the world and in her circles and to give her the support she needs. And when she does come to you, to be there to listen and to be there so that she can give you what you need in order to help her.
I wanted to ask you to, I'll start with Rayanne. You know, Jay, you brought up about, you know, her athletics career. I could just hear the admiration you had in your voice about her accomplishments athletically, and which is so cool. I love that. And I wanted to ask you, Rayanne, what was that like, you know, for you? And, you know, you played, obviously it sounds like you played high level athletics. You probably started when you're little. And what was that relationship like? And I don't know, Jay, if you were a baseball guy or not, but Rayanne, what was it like for you, you know, growing up playing softball as you did at a high level? What was that relationship like between the two of you? Did you get to a place where you were kind of burned out, ready to move on, or self-motivated? I'm curious about that.
Great question. We dive into a whole section on teams and teammates in the book, your daughter and her teams and teammates, because it was such a prevalent part of our relationship, even if it's not a part of every girl-dad relationship, it was certainly pivotal for us. And so we wrote about it. And a lot of my favorite memories are of me and my dad driving to softball tournaments, sometimes hours and hours away, and playing catch in the side yard, watching the Chicago Cubs together. All of those things definitely feed into that relationship. But like every young athlete, you're exactly right. I went through different phases. I went through I played other sports as well that clearly dropped off throughout my athletic career. But with my dad, you know, he started off when my first traveling softball team, he was my coach. I was 8 years old, and we were terrible. I don't know if we won a single game, but I am.
We won two games. Hey, Ray, we won two games.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Wow, you even remember that, Jay. Wow.
Doesn't that tell you something, Tim? But I'm still friends with a few girls. Keep in touch with a few girls who were on that team, and it didn't matter. The winning and losing. I know it mattered to me in the moment because every win and loss mattered to me in the moment. But at the end of the day, watching my dad show up for me, and that's what it was. He was showing up for me, and he loved what I loved. Which was incredibly important to us. But as I grew up, we talk about how at some point your daughter is going to surpass you in things, and don't you want her to? Right? Sometimes it's athletically, sometimes it's intellectually, sometimes it's academically, in her career, whatever, relationally, whatever it might be. She's going to do things you can't imagine and surpass ground that you couldn't imagine as a dad. And when it comes to sports, that's often the first way that a daughter relates to her dad, because it's oftentimes good fertile ground for a dad to relate to their daughter. But the warning I would give to dads out there is that to not live vicariously through your daughter in these periods of time when she's in athletics, but instead be there for her, make her love your love, and make her hobbies your hobbies. And that doesn't have to be sports. That could be anything. But as we evolved our relationship through all those coaching experiences, I mean, he talks about when I hit the home run in the Patriot League tournament in my last season, he was there. He had driven 10 hours to New York to watch that game in the pouring rain. One of my favorite pictures that we have is that day. And so it's allow your daughter to evolve, allow your daughter to go through different phases, whether that be athletically or not, and allow her to exceed your growth. When I got beyond the scope of what he couldn't teach me anymore, you know, in terms of softball, I went out and I had to pursue different things. And he gave me coaches that would invest in me. You know, he found me lessons that would help me because he saw my passion for things. And that helped kind of coax me out of those different types of burnout because I knew he was there to support me.
Yeah. Wow. Incredible. I love hearing that. And I mean, because certainly, you know, it's a, as you mentioned, you know, it can be it's a great fertile ground, mm-hmm. you know, and that's something even, you know, myself that I'm navigating as we're a basketball family. And so we, you know,
sure.
both, you know, my and gymnastics, but I was a basketball guy. So, you know, it was my girls love basketball and navigating through that and how to encourage them, but not, you know, they've got to develop a passion themselves. And so that we're kind of in the midst of that. So it's fun to hear about it. Jay, how about you from your side?
Well, that was a fun chapter to write, the one on, you know, your daughter and her teams and teammates. But I just need to turn to any dad right now saying, my daughter doesn't do sports. The same principles apply. Show up, drive her, talk to her. Not so much about, how come you missed the cutoff man down there? Man, you looked at that third strike. It's more like, did you do what you wanted to do? Or how can I help you come along? Because, Dad, you can't jump out on that. Tim, you can't jump out on the court and put your daughter's feet in the right spot before she takes that jump shot. You can't do that. I know you want to. But you can make sure she has the right gear. You can make, you know, at the right time, not when she's 8, but when she's 10 or 12 or 13, yeah, you can maybe invest in some extra training for her. You can sharpen her skates or oil her mitt or do whatever you do in basketball to get her ready to play. So there are things you can do. And then, of course, you always got to kick around that idea of how important is winning. And I tell you, Tim, as I'm talking to a dad right now, a young dad with his daughters, Tim, the wins and losses are going to blur together. It's the
Hey, wait a second, Jay. You remembered the two wins from 1985.
Well, that was our first season. And You caught me. Oh, man, you're right. I'm lying here left and right. I'm full of it. Well, you're right. You're exactly right. That was quite the season, though. It was very memorable. And, again, there's a girl that Rayanne is playing softball with this week. I saw her play softball with that were on that team, and they still laugh about it. I only got thrown out of one game, Tim. I only got thrown out of one game.
What'd you get tossed for?
And I feel bad about that. And please don't follow my example.
We'll move on from this, Jay. What was the thing that was so egregious that you got tossed?
Oh, it was balls and strikes, and what a silly thing. Silly thing to be angry about, calling balls and strikes. The umpires are doing the best job they can. We will leave it at that, my friend. You know, those kind of stories are in the book, though. So, how did Jay plow through that? I think we just sold a few books there, Rayanne, because people want to know how you plow through that. And it really is. You know, afterwards, I'm broken. And I'm telling my daughter, man, I've messed up. Instead of being all sure of myself and being, that umpire's like, man, I missed that. I messed that. That's something I'm going to learn from. And yeah. I'm better now.
I love it. Well, I'll tell you, Jay, I got teed up. I coached two of my daughters this year, and I got teed up this year. It's the only time I got teed up all season. We're up in Stanwood. Which is a kind of a rural community up north. And, you know, sometimes when you go to those, it's home cooking. And so this ref made the call. And all I said to him, I go, welcome to Stanwood. And he teed me up. But my daughters now, they love that. They'll joke about it. They're like, welcome to Stanwood, Dad. You know?
Yes, you're exactly right. You know what? The conversations, I got to tell you, the conversations we have now around our, Rayanne has four older brothers, so that's why she's tough as nails, of course. But the conversations we have now, and so, you know what, don't strangle your teenagers, guys. Men, don't strangle your teenagers because they're going to give you grandkids, and they're going to tell stories and share stories of what it was like growing up with your dad, and pouring in and making mistakes and all that kind of good stuff. It's what a delight. And you might even write a book called Girl Dad and, you know, sell a million copies. Who knows?
I mean, tell me, as we close our time here, Rayanne, we'll start with you. What's kind of your high-level hope for this? If you could just give your big picture hope that people will take away from this, what is it?
Excellent question, Tim. My hope, like I said a little bit ago, dads are coming up to their daughters, or they're holding their baby girl in their arm, right, when they're brand new. And they are their little princess. They swear to protect them through everything that will ever happen, that they'll defend them against the world. And what I want to show dads is, and you might know it intellectually, but to really look at your daughter and see the potential that is there, and see how she is a complete person, to see how she's going to go through struggles, and that she's going to evolve. You know, people ask me and my dad, you know, well, your relationship must be great now. Was it always like this? And I always say, well, our relationship has never been the same. Our relationship has evolved as we've evolved as people, as we have grown and gone through different stages and figured out what was important, gone through struggles or difficulties, but also highs. And my big pitch to those dads out there is to say, you know, evolve with your daughter. Let her grow, foster those hopes and dreams, foster everything that she could potentially be, and be with her. And that relationship will evolve over time. And I promise that if you stick around as her girl dad, if you stick around, that you being a superhero might stop and her being that little princess might stop. But the fact is that superheroes and little princesses, they don't exist. And they're boring, frankly. Instead, you get to be real people with each other who love each other in the midst of pain and support each other while enduring failure and challenge each other to be better. And if you stick around, my promise is that the best is yet to come, because one day you might be friends and find that joy in each other and in your history together.
Well said. Well said. Mm. How about you, Jay?
Well, I'm going to absolutely echo everything Ryan said, but maybe you think about these three words, Dad. They should echo in your own head. Enter her world, whatever season she's in. Do the teddy bear picnics and tea parties. You know what? She wants to do that. Or build the Lego starships or mud pies and do the hopscotch and do the chalk doodling. If you can look outside and your daughter's doing something once in a while and to be intentional about going out there, laying on the grass and looking up at the clouds and, you know, doing fairy gardens. But then be ready because that's going to change. You know, take her to the batting cage or build a birdhouse with her. You know, take her shopping this Mother's Day. Take your 12-year-old daughter shopping for Mother's Day. What a great thing that could be to ask her opinion on things. And then the flip of that side is occasionally have her invite her to enter your world. If you golf, sometimes I tell dads, you know, put your golf clubs away for a decade. Or the opposite side is invite your 12-year-old daughter to go golfing with you. What a thing that would be for forever and ever. So there you go. That's the idea of every season, look for ways to connect with your daughter by entering her world and vice versa. There you go.
That's good. Well said. Well said. Well, I'm sure you guys are excited for this book to come out. And you guys, as you mentioned, you're out in Chicago. You're in St. Charles, actually. Is that right?
Yeah, western suburbs, yeah.
I've got a couple cousins in St. Charles. You know the Ronconi boys?
Name rings a bell, but I don't think
Mark
I know
and
them.
Johnny? Do you know Mark and Johnny
no.
Ronconi?
Rayanne, do you know that name?
Those names absolutely ring a bell with me. So glad to hear that you have some good stock out here, Tim.
That's right.
Before we go, I need to brag on my wife. She just retired from 12 years on a city council in St. Charles. She was an alderman here. And there's a story there about seasons of life. I tell you that for sure.
Oh, wow. Well, tell us about that. I want to hear about that.
When Ryan went off to West Point 11 years ago now, just around that same time, Rita ran for city council. She had been a stay-at-home mom for 20 years. And she, again, the new seasons of life. So anybody who's going through a season right now that's tough, you know, God has something for you. He'll get you through. He's got something for you with the new hope and new dreams for the next season. And so, we should check back in a year, and I'll see how my wife is doing with her new retirement. We'll see.
Oh, that's wonderful. Absolutely.
And she's been
wonderful.
An inspiration to Rayanne, too, all along the way. Absolutely.
I think, Tim, that it also speaks to, you know, I remember when it was my senior year, she was running. And I remember at first I went, what? Really? You want to do that? And it kind of took me by surprise. But then when I realized it and I thought about, you know, all the different committees that she had led for me and my brothers, all the different ways that she had connected to the community and invested in the town, it made perfect sense. And so that's a great example of how your little girl, your daughter, you have no idea what she's going to be. What she could be anything. And even as she evolves through life, her hopes and dreams and aspirations, and she's going to come up to you one day, just as I did to Jay and Rita, just as I did to my parents, and say, hey, I'm going to go off to West Point. Hey, I'm going to move to Ireland. Hey, I'm going to make these changes. It's going to surprise you at first, but lean into that and be excited by that.
Well, Rita might be the toughest of all you guys. Get involved in Chicago politics, man. That's no joke. You might disappear one day, you know?
Well, I'm sorry. When I was the jerk in the stands, I'll say that again. When I was the jerk in the stands, I had given permission to Rita to nudge me or to remind me, not yell at me, not such, but and so that's why it's a teamwork. It's that's why moms are so important and women are so important and daughters and dads, we're all so important. That's God's design for the family, is to lift each other up and challenge each other and to hold each other accountable. That's why Rayanne will continue to surprise me, but I'm not worried about her because God has her. And she's done great things, and who knows? that needs to be a, you know what, that's last, maybe the last thought. Thank you, Tim, for letting us go along here. But when your daughter does something, or does something, say these words. Write these down, guys. Man, I am looking forward to seeing how God uses that in your life. When your daughter finds her sweet spot, where she's doing stuff, where she's relating to other people or such, wow, I'm looking forward to see how God uses that in your life, because he will.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Rhiann and Jay, really great to have you on the program today. The new book, Girl Dad, a father-daughter duo, discuss truths that impact a girl's heart, mind, and spirit, comes out May 9th. You can pick that up, and appreciate having you guys on the program today. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, God bless. Keep at it, Tim. We so appreciate you.
You too.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.